Okay. The as the Chaznish brings this perek towards its close or towards its climax, different aspects we've been looking throughout this perek at different aspects of bitachon, different ways in which a Jew can live and put his emunah, apply his emunah in action, the ways in which my deep emunah Kadosh Baruch Hu will be manifest through the sort of self-control, added self-control that I'll have. That's something he picks up in Perek Dalet. Also, the way in which I'll respond, my emotional response to a crisis, my practical response to the crisis, what I won't do, and here he's beginning to talk about what I will do. And the idea we saw, I mean, we left off in the middle of this his analysis of Yosef. We had said last week at the end, I want to come back to in section Vav, it talks about Yosef HaTzadik. The idea that he had developed was the Hishtadlos, meaning one of the great questions of Bitachon is what's appropriate Hishtadlos versus Bitachon, Hishtadlos and Bitachon, Hishtadlos or Bitachon. How do you make sense of having Bitachon and yet I'm working on my own, and presumably it means we know there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects Hishtadlos of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of those who take care of themselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be active, not only active in the mitzvahs, but active in terms of ensuring our physical well-being. And yet, we see, for instance, just one example with Yosef HaTzadik, we see that Yosef HaTzadik is critiqued for the way, for the responses that he had. He didn't do anything. It's not like that first story. That first story you'd seen 2 weeks ago, the story of Yosef, of Reuven. So Reuven, the fictional Reuven, in Chazanish's short story, in section Gimel, so that was a man who was doing Averis. He was doing Averis, and he allowed himself to do those Averis because of lack of bitachon. But what he did was inherently wrong, leave inside the bitachon. He lies and he makes machlokas and so on and so forth. Yosef, the question is, Yosef is not doing anything, there's no inherent aveira, and says it wasn't an aveira to speak to the, to there wasn't a tayin lashon hara to the Sar HaMashkim, wasn't lying to the Sar HaMashkim, it wasn't being nasty. So what's wrong? What's wrong is a lack of bitachon. So how do you make sense of that? When is the Shavuos okay and when is it not? So the concept that the Chazanish had developed based on his approach to Bitachon and that he then wanted to pour back into Yosef, and that's where we're up to, the concept he had wanted to develop was the following, that if I'm living my Emunah, Chazanish has taken Bitachon, I really believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and I'm gonna live like I mean it, so then I'm going to do stuff. I'm going to be active. I'm going to be proactive. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of me. But the attitude within is a sense of security. That's what we've seen in the past, right? That's an emotional sense of security in the face of crisis, in the face of uncertainty. Because I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is driving the car. I know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is managing the situation. So the Chazanish says, here's where the emotional piece and the practical piece intersect. Is the sorts of things that I'm going to do will be appropriate hishtadlus. Hishtadlus that's consistent with bitachon is hishtadlus that makes sense. Hishtadlus that to a reasonable observer situation, this is a reasonable, prudent response. So that's hishtadlus. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. We could have imagined, God could have created the world, and that's something we've been talking about in Mesillas Yesharim here. Kadosh Baruch Hu could have chosen to create the world that we're just passive recipients of his goodness, and he just takes care of everything. And we're a baby. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided not to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create an Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create a context in which we're supposed to be active. But if I have a sense of security there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is driving the ship, then we only do those things that make sense. And the Chaznish went on to say that if I'm acting out of desperation, if I'm doing things that really don't make a lot of sense, but just trying to do anything I could, so that means I'm really acting out of desperation. I'm acting out of despair. It's, all hope is lost, I may as well just do whatever, without rhyme or reason, without cheshbon. Because there is where your lack of bitachon pops up. If I'm not just doing those things that are reasonable and prudent, but I'm acting out of despair, I'm just grasping at straws, if things may be bleak, it may be unlikely that things will work out, but if I believe that Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, there's never a despair. There's never can't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses in general to run the world without Nisim. So that's a topic we started to talk about last time, I think, a little bit. That since HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it clear to us through his Nevi'im that he will rarely, if ever, do anything. He will very rarely do Nisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chaznish writes elsewhere, Teva is the Ratzon HaYoser Raga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nature is God's usual desire for the world. So and we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to be patterned and non-chaotic and work in general with very few exceptions according to the rules of science. So we're not going to daven for Nisim. And we're not going to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do Nisim if he wants to, but I'm not going to assume that. And what I daven for in a situation where the Derech HaTeva, nothing is fixable, so I may be davening for something different. That's when it comes up Lamasa, in a palliative care situation or some other situation like that, there's obviously something where it needs to reach out for guidance, halachic and hashkafic, in the moment. But that's very different, let's say, than when the situation that Chazal described, moving from the medical to, let's say, the example that Chazal gave, the Masorah from Beis David. Even if a sharp sword is on a person's neck, is very close to death, right? He's being attacked, he's held the knife point. So he might think that all hope is lost. You don't stop davening. Why? Because it's not that it wouldn't be keneged hateva for the attacker to desist. It may not be likely, but it's not unscientific. It doesn't require Nes Nigla. It seems less likely. Okay, but we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu self-imposes upon himself that he will in general not do Nisim Gluim. Okay, but this isn't a Nes Gali. So whether the situation looks bleak or there's a high likelihood of a good outcome, as long as Bederecha, there's a way Bederecha Teva that things could look up, so I'll continue to daven, and I recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu may choose to save me, may not choose to save me. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that Kadosh Baruch Hu has my best long-term interests in mind, and that Kadosh Baruch Hu is managing the situation. So, depending on how difficult the situation is, that will determine how deep does my emunah have to be in order to act like a bitachon in this situation. But bitachon would dictate that if I have enough emunah to handle the situation, so it's going to be, I'm going to look at the situation and say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll have a reserve of calm because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making decisions. And as a result, I'll be able to look at the situation in a clear-eyed, rational way and say, what's a reasonable thing to do to try to cure the situation? I'll do those things which are reasonable, but not those things which are unreasonable because I'm coming from a place of calm. Again, and just to chazer, again, like he said at the very beginning of the parak, this is not necessarily easy, and it's not black and white. And bitachon is a midah because it comes in, there's a sliding scale. It's not binary. I may have enough bitachon to handle this sort of situation, but that's sort of a more challenging situation. I don't have enough bitachon for that. The guy next to me, he has even more bitachon. He can handle even the more challenging situation. He can be calm even in a more challenging situation. Another fellow, he may have less bitachon than I, and he can't even handle a less challenging situation respond with calm. Okay, but that's the concept. Again, it's going to play itself out to different degrees depending on the amount of bitachon that I have. But that's the concept, the application of bitachon, not only again to self-control, and to emotional response, and to what I don't do, but in terms of what I do, the sort of hishtadlos, practice as I will do, it's going to be reasonable because it's coming from a place of calm. And that's his take on Yosef. Yeah, we left off with Jeff's question. We want to come back to it.
No, it's not a different
question. Okay.
No, two questions. Know what's reasonable, but what's not. You know, I assume I'm not going to get the job. Well, people don't, but maybe I'll get this job, and it happens. Which I mean, it's like one in a thousand, one in... Like, there's a lot of things that people get where it's hard to know. Like, Hanno was talking about the doctor. Maybe this will work. This works in one of... 1,000 people. It's no one working one out of 10,000 people. This cure works.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't do that. It's been shown to work. How do I? In theory, what the Chazak is saying, I guess, makes sense, but it's hard to know.
How do you? How you play
what's
out?
Reasonable versus what's not.
Yeah. And your question is a two-layered question. It's a very good question. It's a two-layered question. How do I determine, and practically, how do I determine? I think that maybe the main draw, the answer to both may be the same, yeah?
Isn't the lack of doing something worse? Like, isn't that showing like you're almost hoping that you're going to have an amaze occur? Like, you're not going to draw the very far-fetched
yeah.
Cure.
You're saying sometimes being frozen may also be.
Yosef had done. Yosef had not passed the Sar Mashkim and just davened to Hashem to save me. That would have been more l'mal min hatav than asking.
Yeah. So his take on Yosef, which again we spoke about last time, you can agree or disagree from a parshanut perspective and from the psychological assumptions that the Chaznish makes about whether you think that this is the way to read the Medrash, but his take on that Medrash that we saw, we will come back to. But his take is that the action that Yosef took was a sort of action that Bederach HaTeva would not work. And to ask that's again the Chaznish's assumption is that politicians or people in power will Bederach HaTeva not take care of you unless you're in front of them, unless they have self-interest involved. So Bederach HaTeva makes no sense to assume that the Sar Mashkim is going to take care of Yosef. Why are you doing that? That's an unreasonable thing to do. And ultimately, he does remember him when it's in his own self-interest. Nothing to do with the fact that Yosef had asked him. So that's the Chaznish's take. But that, you know, this is, and it's not a thing, something that a prudent, reasonable person would do. And it's grasping the stress. You can agree or disagree, and we'll after totally the question, we'll come back and read that Medrash again. But yeah, you're right. Sometimes freezing could also be a simon that expression of a lack of bitachon. And I'm so overwhelmed by the crisis, and I feel that all hope was lost. Some people respond by grasping the straws, and some people respond by just shutting down, which are both understandable, reasonable. Well, not really. Both understandable, normal human responses, but they're coming from a place of insufficient bitachon. But coming back to what you were saying, Jeff, how am I supposed to actually figure this out? And again, how am I supposed to figure out in theory? And also, like, I'm no gay, I'm always no gay, b'davar. So the truth is, that's part of why you reach out to get eitzah with other people. And eitzah with other people could often be peers also, as wise peers. But someone who's a wise, uninterested third party. Not that he doesn't care about it, but disinterested third party. And a lot of times you'll get, that's true of Baruch Yoetz. There's a lot of times you sort of reach out to one or two people who have good perspective and who aren't nogim bedavar in my life the way I'm going to get bedavar in my own life. You say, like, does this make sense? And smaller things, it's easier to sort of assess. And bigger things, it can be hard. The more negias I have, the harder it is. That is something wise to getting better perspectives. Sometimes someone with more expertise. Sometimes just someone with a wise third party. Talmud Chacham or not. Certainly someone who's coming from a shorish of bitachon. Talmud Chacham, we assume that Torah gives a person an added perspective. But really it's a question of getting someone else's unbiased perspective. I think that's often the way. Sometimes I can clear my mind and be misbonin and figure it out. Sometimes in the moment I can figure it out. Sometimes I need his bonus. Sometimes third party. Well, is this reasonable? Does this make sense? Does this make sense? I'm not sure there's a number. I mean, like in a sakana situation, like you're trying to do halachic risk management. Let's say in a medical situation, is to operate, not to operate, what are the chances of short-term, long-term chances, if we do operate, if we don't operate. So to a certain extent, post-discuss numbers. Even there, even there, it's not purely quantitative. It's not just about the numbers. It's also sometimes about what's socially acceptable risk. So I think that sort of idea can play in here also. As part of the question, a reasonableness is not just, in other words, what's my p-value? Like, what percentage of the time will this succeed? But it's also as what's considered to be reasonable by reasonable people. So I think it is, but again, at its core, it's neither about the numbers. It's not so much about methodology. It's more about, like, where am I coming from? Am I coming from a place of calm and trying to figure out what makes sense, or is it just out of a place of behala? And then you have to say it. But I think that so the details we could figure out, but the real issue, according to Chazon Ish, is where is my decision-making coming from? And I just want to go back to that. Do you have a question?
Sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you are you like I don't know if you finished the paragraph.
So maybe let's finish the paragraph and then we'll.
Okay.
I wanted to take a look again just to appreciate what he does with this medrash, because it's really gorgeous. Sorry. Does it have? I apologize. Here in the middle of Vav, the middle of paragraph Vav, he quotes this Chazal Amru, that they quote this Medrash Rabbah. Ashrei ha-gever she-shem Hashem miftacho. How lucky is a man who places his mivtach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How lucky is a man who relies in Ribbono Shalom. The smack in the middle of page Chaf. Zeh Yosef v'lo panan al rahavim. Yosef was a man who relied on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yosef was a man of Yitachim. V'lo panan al rahavim. He didn't turn to nobles. The Medrash says, well, Yosef did. Sh'b'shvil she'panan al sar ha'mashkim nitosaf lo sh'tei shanim. He turned to the sar ha'mashkim, so that's why he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished him by leaving him in prison for an additional 2 years. Now, that sounds like at first blush, the Medrash doesn't flow. You expect to say, Yosef was not a boteach, as after all, prove, you know, Raya Ladavar, look what he does, Exhibit A. Look at how he responds to Sarah Mashkin. So, but the Medrash sort of seems like it's cutting both ways. Yosef is a boteach, and Yosef demonstrated a lack of bitachon. So the he goes on to say, well, Yosef, with Soro Loma, you know what's going on here? Yosef Yadashen Atzalasu Tluya Beshtados. He knew Yosef was a man of bitachon. Yosef was a man of bitachon. He knew that Kadosh Baruch Hu was riding the show, but Yoshin is chayev adam befulos lo lismoch anisa. But he knew that Kadosh Baruch Hu expects us to be active in shaping our own destiny. He knew that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to take steps. So chayev Yosef as asmol ishtamnus l'shamesh b'izdabnus zul l'vakeish misar mashkin. Yosef decided that he needs to take advantage of the situation. He has an in with the Sar Mashkim. After all, he gave Sar Mashkim a good prediction, and a prediction came true. So he thought, I need to take advantage of the situation. I need to seize the moment and say, by the way, on your way out, keep me in mind. And then he goes on to say what we were talking about before. B'yoshel fitchunas ha-rehavim ein betivo lizkar ulehitiv. The nature of nobles, this is the Chazon Ish's premise, is that his, by nature, this sort of fellow is not going to remember. This sort of fellow is not going to take care of me under these circumstances. The truth is, you think about it, you realize that you're really acting out of a sense of desperation. If a person is despaired, so then he's going to do anything, even if it doesn't really seem like he can help, but just doing stuff. But a person who's rooting bitachon ought not to be acting that way. Certainly not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects me to do. V'yesh b'masa zeh kein zriyas avak al zohar amuna bitachon. This sort of action, this sort of behavior, acting out of desperation, that's, in a poetic turn, he says, it's like you're throwing dirt on those glowing coals of Emunah Bitachon within. Acharei she'en achova yasura. If it's not what Kadosh Baruch Hu expects, then I shouldn't be doing it. And now he comes back to talk at the Medrash. Kavonas Chazal ha-pu'ula So that's the second, the latter half of the Medrash is not a judgment on Yosef's underlying bitachon, but in Yosef's decision in this situation. Now, he doesn't raise the kasha because this is because of the poetic style here. But presumably what he's driving at is the kasha from before. How you read the Medrash, it seems like it's a shifting midway. He says, no. We're saying Yosef was a great poteach. Yosef was a man of bitachon. However, it's not a therefore, and it's not a because of. There's no causal relationship here. It's saying Yosef was a great poter, but he also made mistakes. And this goes back again to the way he starts. That bitachon is a midah, which means it's not black and white. It's a sliding scale. Yosef had great bitachon, but not enough. In this situation, he slipped up. Yada Yosef shen ezer ben adam bilti miyad Hashem levad. Yosef had the core idea down for sure. He is the paradigm of bitachon. Ashrei ger Hashem Hashem b'tacho, ze Yosef. He's your paradigmatic boteach. But even the paradigmatic boteach slipped up. Mashachiv atzmol l'shomis arbashkim lo haiza l'fi kabbalas chazal dinemus. Yosef thought that was a good call. Chazal said, but looking from a distance, and it goes back to the point you made before, the third party. Chazal don't think that they're greater boteachim than Yosef. They are, after all, telling us that Yosef is the paradigm of a boteach. But still, they say, okay, but in the moment, it seems to us as a third party, as a wise third party, that Yosef slipped up. That was a bad call. And in the moment, this was something that bespoke, not gross lack of bitachon, but some degree of lack of bitachon. Yeah.
That answers my question. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, how about that? I wish you had other questions. Could have seized the moment. Wish you were wondering about when Mashiach is coming. That's a Yiddish expression. Right? You talk about someone, mention someone's name, and suddenly he shows up. That's a Yiddish expression. We should have been talking about Mashiach. And then he ends the paragraph in a very, very beautiful way. And it's something you sort of don't really expect. Because up until now, the whole paragraph has been very, very practical. Sort of the basic concept. That's how he began. What bitachon is and isn't, and then everything else is sort of like very logical, sort of thinking logically in ways we sometimes wouldn't think on our own, but sort of just thinking about how emunah is going to play out in terms of self-control, in terms of emotional reactions, in terms of practical reactions. But then he sort of ends, and it's interesting also. He ends with sort of like this very, very small paragraph, not anticlimactic, but instead sort of like it takes it to a whole new level and sort of almost like leaves it dangling. Yeah, sort of introduce one final concept that will get us thinking on a new plane. Yesh obi midas habitachon. There's something else going on in midas habitachon. Ki al boteach shor ruach hakodesh umeslava imo ruach oz. He says, in addition to everything else, in addition to how I respond to things, which has been the thrust of the whole perek, it's also how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treat me and how I'm going to develop in ways that I cannot control. If I'm boteach, so there's going to be a certain spirit. There's going to be a holiness, the Ruach HaKodesh, that's going to sink into me. Umislaved, I'm going to be endowed with. Umislavei mo Ruach Oz HaMevasro Ki Abnam Yazrei Hashem. There's a certain strength of spirit that's whispering in my ear. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of it. Kemosho Amar Dav Ramelcha Vashalom Im Tachna Lemachal Yura Libi. This is from Perek Chav Zayin. They say for a month and a half every year. In Takum alayim l'chama b'zos ani votech. That sense that no matter what happens, I have a Kadosh Baruch Hu behind me. Ze inim mischalef l'fli malos habotech v'rav kacha. And this is something that different people have to different degrees depending on how holy I am, how much a botech I am, and in general how holy a person I am. It's sort of like this, like a. Almost like mysterious. Just like throws an idea, doesn't develop it. Where is this Ruach HaKodesh coming from?
Yeah. Why doesn't this conflict with what he said at the beginning?
That what?
That bitachon is not, don't worry, God will take care of me and everything will work out for the best.
It's not that. Well, he said that the urban legend that he had denied at the beginning, the urban legend is that X is going to happen. There's an uncertain future. I don't know if it's going to be X or Y. I don't know if I'm going to get the job, not get the job. You know, I don't know if the girl I'm dating, are we going to end up getting married, not going to end up getting married? I don't know what's going to happen. I'm doing the tests. So I'd be talking that we will get married. I'd be talking that I will get the job. But be talking that, as he said, I can't know for sure that X will happen as opposed to Y. But what I can know for sure is that Kadosh Baruch Hu has my back. And that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't know for sure that what I want to happen is what's going to happen. But I can know that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to happen is what's going to happen.
But he says,
HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me out. Well, what's going to be?
But how does an individual know that God's going to help them? Meaning, any given person could be that God is, maybe God is going to punish him.
So it could be I'm misreading the Chaznish, but I read it as, I know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to help me. What the help translates into, I don't know. Does help me, I'll get the job? Does it help me, I'm not going to get the job? I don't know. Okay. But to have sort of like this visceral sense, but you're right, that second part is almost, I think you could say it's almost like a repeat. Well, that's what we've been talking about the whole way through. To have a sense that Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of me, whether I understand it or not, whether I see it or not, well, that's what he's been talking about the whole time. But I think what he's adding is sort of like the piece that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do, not just knowing in my head, this is what I believe, but sort of like a spiritual, to be able to sense that. This little, can't call it a paragraph, this little like closing chapter, it's a little reminiscent, I think, of what Ramchal writes about Kedusha. The last chapter of Mesillas Yesharim, near the end of the ladder that Pinchas Be'er sets up, after Zahiris and Tara and Yira and so on, the Precious, near the very end you get to Kedusha. Kedusha, and then in the Ramchal's Girsan, Braisa, there are many different girsos, there are braisa in Masechet Zorozara. Ramchal's girsa, at the end you get to Kedusha, and then I think Ruach HaKodesh Tchias HaMesim, something like that. When he talks about Kedusha, he has a line near the beginning of Perek Chavav that Kedusha is something, you get that high on the ladder, I've been working, step after step after step to make myself an increasingly refined person, increasingly a God-centered person, increasingly a person who's resonant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when you get that, at a certain point, you get far enough, it's no longer just up to me. He says, the language he says is that Kedusha is Tchiloso, I forget the exact wording, Tchiloso Avoda V'Sofo Gmul, something like that. He says that all the way through I've been working on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I get Siyat HaShemaya, but I've always been pushing and working to move myself to the next level. So to get to Kedusha ready, I'm going to only go so far, and then once I've gone a certain degree, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shower me. It's going to be a matana. It's going to be a gemul. I can't create that sort of Kedusha in my life. I'm going to do what I can, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose to gift me with Kedusha, however far that goes. So it almost sounds like that's what he's sort of hinting at very subtly here. That to the extent that a person grows over months and years and decades, hopefully, in terms of deepening my emuna, and again, as he's been saying all the way through, deepening not just my emuna in my head, but in the kishkas, the emuna sichlas, to the kushas, to the extent that I'm living it, and I'm living in the way I deal with the Yetzer Hara, living the way I deal with the uncertain situations. So over time, because Gabaros is going to give me something also. I'm going to grow. All this up until has been halacha. All this has been what some would call Masa Merkava, in other words, my growth, the Mesillas Yesharim, it's been my stepping up and stepping up and stepping up. And he says there's also the Derech Hashem piece, there's also the Maaseh Bereishis piece. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga with me, if I grow and grow and grow and grow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to begin to gift me also. If I have that sort of clarity in my life about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so there's going to be greater Kedusha, and that's a gift. I think that's part of what he's driving at. That's why he has this sort of like that ambiguous closing clause. This is something that sort of depends. It's a variable idea. It varies depending on what madrega this Jew is on and how deep, how great is his kedusha. I think that's what he's saying. Up until now, he's been talking about what our achrayus is. But know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only B'tachon itself means to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in my life, but know that if I grow myself in this way, I grow my awareness for Ribbono Shalom, in time HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give me gifts, spiritual gifts. Not just he's going to continue to take care of my life, but I'm going to get spiritually enriched in ways I couldn't have predicted, and B'tachon is a key part of that. Because B'tachon really means living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really what it's about. And I will close for now with this. This is something, an Eitzah that I know Rabbi Meir Twersky talks about. Both in terms of bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the lives of our families and in terms of bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our own lives. Always important to remember that we have a chiyuv not only to mechanech our children, but to mechanech ourselves. It just to develop the... Because this all sounds very nice, to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and, you know, to absorb the idea viscerally absorb the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our lives and cares and is managing our lives. This all sounds very nice, all sounds true, all sounds good. I wish I was there, but Lamasa, how is it coming? So one very simple, certainly not the only tool in the toolkit, but one tool in our arsenal has to be what Mayor Tversky talks about. Rethinking, the train ourselves to recast what we would say anyways in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And sometimes it gets into sort of a groove of saying Baruch Hashem, Meretz Hashem, but it just becomes like a phrase we say without thinking. Sometimes it's more powerful if it's in English. But just to describe situations, I'm telling over something that happened to me, to someone else. I could just say, yeah, X, Y, Z happened, and it worked out. Or I could say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking out for me, and to say the same things, but just to phrase it in terms that we believe in our heads, but we don't. It just remains sort of in passive memory. If you ask me, do I believe it? I say, yes, I believe. That's not going to get me very far. That won't get me nearly as far as just finding ways to phrase the things I would say anyways, but phrase them from a perspective of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays into it. And I believe that anyhow, but I just don't talk that way. So if I don't talk that way, it sort of stays in the back of my mind. If I get into the habit of expressing it, it brings it to the front of my mind. And it brings it to the mind of the... It makes people around me aware of the idea also. That's what the Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Mezuzah. At the end of Perek Vav, Hilchos Mezuzah is the middle two prakim of the 10 Perek section on Tefillin, Mezuzah, and Sefer Torah. So the end of Perek Vav is the end of Hilchos Mezuzah. So he writes there, Rambam understands that when we talk about the power of mezuzah is that it, that's what Rambam seems to say, in not so many words. The power of mezuzah is to take one of the most banal, mundane activities possible, just walking. Walking from place to place. You could transform that into something so powerful. Because he says, you're just walking from place to place, and miyadhu pogeya. You're just walking through a door, and all of a sudden you're bumping into all the basic ideas of Yadus. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about me, right? Shema v'yahavta. And I'm supposed to care about HaKadosh, I'm supposed to have an emotional relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that implies that he cares about me. Then all of a sudden, that's transformative. And then all of a sudden, as Rambam describes, miyad holach b'darcha mesharim. All of a sudden you remember what's really important, and you just naturally live the straight and narrow. Now, really? You walk by a mezuzah, and all of a sudden I had this theological epiphany, and I realized the only thing that matters in life is Ribbono Shel Olam, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about, and all of a sudden I'm living the perfect life. I'm living life perfectly. That's what it means. So presumably what the Rambam means is it's not going to happen once, but it aggregates. You walk through doorways tens to hundreds of times a day. If one out of 10 times I would touch the mezuzah, and one of the 10 times I touched the mezuzah, I would think about for a couple of seconds what the mezuzah means, that would mean probably once or twice a day, at least, I'm taking 3 seconds to think about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved in my life all the time, not just in shul and the bismarck. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about me all day long, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects me to care about him all day long. And if that sinks in, if I come across that idea, certainly every time I walk by mezuzah, even 1% of the time, over time in aggregate, after weeks and months and years, it's going to sink in more and more and more and more and more. That's the idea of brachas we talked about this past Shabbos. Luz Kor Sabori Tamin, Uli Yirei Menu. Find little ways to bring Kadosh Baruch Hu back into the conversation and back into my thoughts. And then over time it builds. And that's this idea, aside from the formal mitzvahs of mezuzah and of brachas and so forth, just to find ways in talking about life and in talking about situations past, present, and future, to phrase them in terms of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then over time, that's powerful. And then over time, and through learning and reviewing these ideas, so over time it begins to become real. And over time, the abstract emunah is expressed increasingly in practical bitachon. Shkach. We have time for a question.
In the last paragraph here.
Yeah.
Does he mean, like, how theoretical is this? Does he mean this to be? In other words, is he saying, so this is what happened to, like, Eliyahu HaNavi, and we should know that because we can't?
No,
or does
I don't
he
think
mean
so.
That?
I think he means the people of the 20th century.
To this.
21st, but he was writing the 20th century. Yeah. I think that's maybe also part of what he's saying at the end about it varies based on the person. Don't think you're going to get, you know, the same dose that the Vilna Gaon had, but it doesn't mean you're going to get nothing. And if you work on yourself, and over time, over months and years, you're going to feel greater Kedusha. Now, you could become the Vilna Gaon. Even if you don't anticipate becoming the Vilna Gaon, but if you can be a greater brotech in 5 years from now than you are now, know that there will be more kedusha in your life. You may not see it right away. You may see it a lot, a little bit. It'll vary depending on how hard you try. And it is also reminiscent, if you're looking for a chiastic structure, of the what I said at the beginning. But in terms of mayan, bitach is a sliding scale. Am I a little brotech, a big brotech, or very big brotech? And from a terms of Kadosh Baruch Hu's reaction also, he may give me a little bit of kedusha, or more kedusha, or a whole lot of kedusha. So there's a lot to look for. Yeah. Shkach, thank you so much.